everybody, and welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.net. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm very excited to announce that another successful F This Movie Fest is in the books.
So yeah!
I'm still alive!
Yes. We just completed F This Movie Fest 6, the world's only all-Twitter film festival celebrating the films of 1987. Joining us for this special podcast, which is also going out live currently, we hope, on Facebook, is Mr. Adam Foss.
Hey.
Mr. Oh, boy. Mr. Mike Pomero.
Hey, everybody.
Mr. Jay Bones.
Count me in.
Mrs. Jan B.
Hey.
Mr. Adam Risky.
Hi.
My beautiful wife, Erica Bromley, behind the camera.
Hi, guys.
And all the way from Philadelphia for the first time live in the F This Movie Fest studio, Mr. Rob DiCristino.
Hey, everybody.
It is awesome to have you here, Rob.
It's awesome to be here.
Rob is real. I thought he was like an elderly shut-in.
Not only is he real, he's fucking cut from marble.
He walked out of Sherwood Forest.
Rob's a dreamboat, everyone, is all I'm saying.
Rob was the nom de plume of one of my aunts.
Earlier today, my mother was here helping us with the kids upstairs, and she couldn't help herself. She had to tell him, he's so cute, or you're so cute. Did you hear that as you were walking away? And
Rob,
then she's like, I have to tell him.
He's so good looking.
Yeah. He's so handsome.
I just have to say the truth.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I'm trying to monitor the comments that are coming into the Facebook Live feed. Compliment on your thing t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Someone just said risky. Now, I don't know if that's... that's what the person yells when they stub their toe.
Yeah.
Risky.
I paid somebody to pop up my gift game.
So we are going to talk about all the movies that we watched here at F This Movie Fest 6. Of course, I have to thank everyone who participated today. I know we say this every year. It seems like it was the most successful one every year. I guess that stands to reason that it's getting bigger every year. Mm-hmm. But honestly, during especially I think the first movie, all of us were like, we can't keep up with all the tweets. There was just so much coming in. So a lot of first time participants, which was super cool. And of course, I guess I should have lead off by saying that during the last movie, which was the Monster Squad, the highlight of 6 years of doing F This Movie Fest, when the stars, Andre Gower and Ryan Lambert, jumped in and were commenting with us, and the co-writer turned director Shane Black chimed in to say hi. How exciting is it when those three are tuning in to say hi? And we love the Monster Squad, and it played like fucking gangbusters during the fest. So thank you to all of those men, and everyone listened to Andre Gower and Ryan Lambert's podcast. It's called Squadcast. Go to ryanandandre.com. You can buy a Stephen King Rules t-shirt there. We should be supporting them, right? They were supporting this, like, awesome guys. We love that movie. We love them. So we should support them. So thank you guys for joining in. That was a huge highlight.
We trended again.
Yeah.
Along with what you were saying, I can't remember a time where every time I would look down at the computer for the refresh, this year it was 36 more, 56 more, 22 more.
Yeah.
I think we had more than ever before. Just anecdotally, that's what
I would imagine so. Yeah, we don't have a count. People are saying hello in the Facebook thing. Tweets were so great. Another compliment on the thing t-shirt. Michael Jammarino likes my Shaw Brothers t-shirt.
Yeah,
nothing on your Green Lantern shirt, because that was a fucking garbage movie.
In his defense, it's very hard to see.
It's really,
so was
it's
the
faint.
Movie. anyway, so
I don't find it offensive anymore. I've washed my hands of the situation.
So
Adam's going to wash his hands of the movie and go to the science building.
There you go.
Let's talk about the movies. We kicked things off, of course, with what was first?
Princess Bride.
And we'll let Rob go first on the Princess Bride, because that was your favorite of the movies we watched.
It was the one I was looking forward to the most, because it's one of my favorite movies.
Right.
And we had a ton of fun, and it was great to do that one first, because it was the beginning of the fest, and everyone was tweeting at like
crazy.
We could not we were sitting here, we could not keep up with it, and it was a ton of fun. It was great. A
lot of comments on how beautiful Cary Elwes was, which I thought was weird, because he was sharing a screen with, like, a 19-year-old Robin Wright, and yet everyone's like, wow, Cary Elwes is so pretty.
It's
and
pouty,
I get it,
it's
but,
the
like,
lips.
Why go for right lips. When you could go for a little wrong?
All eyes on you, Rob, is what Ross McNesby is saying, so I think everyone's trying to
He's
relive
very
the... They were trying to psych you out when we did the live podcast back in the summer, so I think they're trying to do it again. Charlie Lewis says, hey, guys. Hey, Charlie! Were you here for The Princess Bride?
I was. I watched all the movies. If I wasn't here, I was watching...
Oh, okay. So, where are you at on The Princess Bride?
You know what? I have to give credit...
Mike, where are you at on the... I'm just kidding.
They do this to me every year.
Because you sit next to me every year!
I know! I gotta move away! God damn it!
You never learn, man!
It's your personal magnetism.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. So, Princess Bride, go ahead.
Oh, now I get to talk. Okay.
Yes!
All right. Yes. You know, I have to give credit to you guys. I've watched that movie a bunch of times, but guys had all said while we were watching it, like, wow, every character is, like, instantly, like, likable. And in a lot of cases, completely lovable. And I really was in tune with that after you guys said it. And it was really awesome to see that this time and be aware of it.
I had tweeted out something about it because when I saw the movie in 1987, I didn't know any of the actors except for Andre the Giant because I was a wrestling fan. So for years, that's who they all were. Like Mandy Patinkin wasn't Mandy Patinkin. He was Inigo Montoya. Mm-hmm. And Cary Elwes was Wesley. And... the rest. But yeah, they create such like iconic characters out of nothing because they don't bring in baggage.
I had tweeted out halfway through the movie, can you think of another movie that's better cast?
No.
I mean, probably. But this is also very well cast. I don't know that I would call it the best cast movie ever.
We'll wait.
It also started the theme of the night, which was movies that are incredibly quick and have zero fat on them and just go.
Like, and again, I think some of that is a function of just the way that we're watching them, because during every movie, we're like, I can't believe we're already here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, the movies we're watching, we're all a little bit on the short side, which helps, but also move so fast.
And it's good for this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mike, where are you at on The Princess Bride?
I love The Princess Bride. I thought it was a great movie to start. It really got everybody, I thought, moving quickly. I also, watching this movie made me want to run home and show my daughter, Evie, who is going to be 9 years old. She hasn't seen it yet, and I want to kill myself for not having shown her.
That's
this movie.
So drastic. Kind of
all right, fine. I won't go that
way. What a die!
Still time.
But
be a good father to her than by killing yourself now?
Well, I've shown her Angry Birds. They've seen, you know what I mean? Like,
this could make up for it.
That makes sense.
No, I love it.
I'm trying to multitask again, so I apologize. People
on
the podcast,
Doug is on. Hi,
people
Doug.
On the Facebook live feed. Doug, I think, is commenting on as of this movie. Nancy says, please, Mike, don't kill yourself. We all don't fully agree with the sentiment.
Nobody
but,
wants that.
J-Bones, Princess Bride.
I hadn't seen it in a really long time, and I remember liking it when I first saw it, and then it sort of became this beloved movie with merchandising, and Cary Elwes wrote that book recently and stuff, and I was wondering if it would hold up, but I would suggest today I liked it even better than the first time I saw it, and it's really... really, really good. And because I'm the king of esoteric information, does anyone else know that Christopher Guest is doing an impression of a 40s character actor named Henry...
Winkler?
No, it's the 70s. I think his name was Henry Daniels, and he appeared in a whole bunch of RKO and Universal movies in the 40s. And it's like... the most perfect dead-on Henry Daniel impression, but I don't think anyone knows that, so everyone's like, boy, that voice Christopher Guest is doing for Count Rugen is the... but he's just doing Henry Daniels. He's in the Body Snatchers with Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff.
And again, I came to it with no baggage. I didn't know when I saw it that Christopher Guest was a comedy guy. You know, to me, he was just the man with six fingers. Doug so is now Doug.
This, you saw this before Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see Spinal Tap for a while because
I was
a child. Right. Jan B.
I love The Princess Bride. I love the characters. I love the relationships between the characters and how many like parallels there are about that unspoken love. I think Peter Falk, like, why? Like, was he one of? He's so underused in his whole career. Yeah. It's just like he's great in
except
everything.
For all so, the marbles. He was perfectly used in all sorry. The marbles. But it's okay. He's anyone could make that mistake.
People forget he shows up in stuff like Wings of Desire. Right. One more thing about Princess Bride. Are there any movies lately?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you weren't
okay, wait, there are
I've seen a few this year.
I so appreciated the fact that books are good, reading is good, books are
just
viable.
Like in the Monster Squad.
And the Page Master.
Send the monsters back.
And I wish that was
and
in
RoboCop,
more...
you could do cocaine off of books.
Yeah. I wish that was in more I've popular done media today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Adam.
No, I love Princess Bride also. It was one of those movies that, when I was, it came out when I was 5, so I probably saw it when I was 6.
We get it, you're
video.
Younger than us.
Alright, that wasn't the point. no, but, I was watching cartoon movies, and this was one of the first, like, movies with adults in it that I ever saw, and the thing that's so nice is if you compare it to something like fucking Shrek, where it's, like, all pop culture jokes, this, like, really... kind of like doubles down on being a fantasy first, and then it's funny. Like it's a good story, and then they put the jokes in, and it, that's why it holds up. And it's
well,
a beautiful
and,
movie.
And yeah. There were a lot of people tweeting during the movie, like that sword fight is badass. It's not a comedy sword fight. Yeah. Like it's a legit great sword duel.
There's stakes,
right?
It's great.
You totally buy into everything that Inigo Montoya wants and his like passion about avenging his father. By that Andre is a giant.
Mm-hmm.
That it has to work as a
it's
fairy tale before it can comment on fairy tales.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
You have to do the thing before you can do the thing.
Right.
It also confused me because at the time I thought Cary Elwes was like on level of like Sean Connery. And then years later I found out I'm like, oh yeah, this was his thing and that was it.
Doug wants you to say inconceivable.
Inconceivable!
And Brian Sager says Shrek is greater than The Princess Bride.
Well, Brian Sager can go to bed.
somebody also was said that we can't let Eric off the hook. They want to know what Eric is.
Okay. Do you, I don't, if we move it around too much, you don't want to be on... Well, you'll be
there's
on the podcast.
There's a picture of me back here.
Yeah, no, don't.
I can hold it.
Is there a mirror here? No, okay.
At least stand here so you're on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay.
and then film...
I loved it. It's great. It's creative. I really miss those kinds of movies.
Don't move it too much. People are going to get sick.
In Vomito Vision.
I had to...
This is like hardcore
Henry. Hi, Nance. Hi, you guys. I had to go upstairs and be with our daughter for a little while because she was not feeling well, so I missed a chunk of it, but I love it. It's great, and I'm excited to keep showing our kids because I feel like there are a lack of those types of movies today for them, you know, like... Just with that sort of creativity
Charles
and fantasy.
Definitely
and, yeah,
that.
Oh yeah.
In this setting, though. See, sometimes I feel like in this setting, he'll sit and watch anything with
maybe.
Us and give it a chance.
But he was, like,
but
he
on
was,
his own, I have a hard
he was
time.
Cool how his reactions paralleled the, you know,
Fred Savage's,
Fred Savage's
right.
in the movie,
yeah.
where he just, as soon as the kissing started, he got bored. He was like, all right, well, what are we going to do? you were like, no, wait.
To
like,
be
wait,
fair,
wait,
though,
wait,
it was me and Erica kissing.
And Fred Savage kept going for more Skittles all the time throughout the movie.
Oh, my God, the kids with the candy. They were like kids in some
I
kind of a store.
I think that's why Rosie wasn't feeling well. She ate all of the Skittles. Okay.
She really did.
She showed up
I've
later in the
Monster
Squad.
I've been warning you about her with the Skittles. She talks about Skittles all the time.
I know. She's a little obsessed.
I have already kind of talked about the Princess Bride,
yes.
just that I saw it not knowing anything about it. As a 10-year-old, went into it, and it became my favorite movie, again, because it's a testament to just how great the story is, and how it's a movie that has a little bit of everything in just the right amount, and has the everything in the best possible way. Even the wraparound is great, and it's like a perfect movie, I think.
And you love movies where the guy gets the girl.
Of course. That's why I love RoboCop. Murphy.
What better message for a kids movie to have than Love Conquers All?
Right.
Right?
Not right. For everyone.
You always make everything
except her, right?
Right?
No, you love exactly to knock right out for her
reason. So we chased the Princess Bride with Predator. Don't film it's going to be like too meta.
No, and I that's think it's so meta, right? Oh my gosh. Did we go viral? Great.
I think we're viral right now. Viral? I don't know how this works.
Wait,
so then
does
we,
that mean we're going to get sick?
Yeah, so then we watched...
No, I'm serious. What does that mean?
No, that means tonight has been sick.
What does that mean if this goes viral?
It's an online nomenclature that it's very popular and it's trending.
I'm sorry, I'm old. We're recording a podcast. We're broadcasting it live. I got a microphone up my ass. I don't know what's going on.
podcasts are okay, so this is a boring video. I feel bad. We're going to post this video and it's going to be unwatchable, but your camera work is great. Somebody wants to get Adam Riske on The Bachelor, so that's great. So then we watched Predator, which I got super excited to watch Predator as soon as we put the disc in and the menu started playing that Alan Silvestri theme music, which is like the greatest theme music.
And we're listening to it, and Heather Wixon tweeted
that
she had the menu playing, too, and it was, like, getting her excited to see the movie.
Another theme is great themes tonight. Like, theme songs.
It was, like, a theme?
I'm going to make
over the course of the night. Over the course of the night, we were humming each...
When Princess Bride ended, we were just walking around singing the song that plays at the end, but we were changing the words to be dumb.
Next year, we're going to take a note from Twilight Time. And it's going to be possible for you to isolate the score on Periscope.
So, Adam Riske.
Yeah.
Predator.
I like Predator. I don't love Predator. I think it's a little pokey. But when it's good, it's really, really good. So, yeah.
You know what else is a little pokey? Your face.
Wow.
I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means.
Fuck you, Gumby.
Nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
Rob, Predator.
I love Predator 2. I think that, I think you would...
Whoa, back up.
You love Predator 2?
You love Predator 2.
We didn't watch the same movie.
Fell into our Predator trap.
I was wondering what it would be like if a Predator was in Los Angeles. I mean, that's the real jungle, right?
I love Aliens versus Predator.
Oh, get out.
No, Predator's a lot of fun, and I think, Patrick, I think you predicted that it would the first half of Predator would be super intense, and then the second half would sort of calm down a little bit, which is basically what happened.
Right.
But what I loved about this was we were watching it in complete darkness. The only thing that was illuminating was our laptop screens, and we were all silent as Schwarzenegger stalks through the... It was great. It was a great experience. It's the kind of movie that is, as you always say, like the kind of movie that is served by this...
Right.
Which is like, it's so much more fun to watch Predator with a couple hundred people than it is to watch Predator by yourself.
Right, that is true. Jan, Predator. You had never seen Predator.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Maybe maybe like 30 years ago when it came out, or maybe right after, but so I don't think so. It had all the great 80s things and that a great 80s vibe. But the thing that was not 80s to me was the actual Predator, which still looks super cool.
Yeah,
right? It does. It's just like, I don't know how they did it. I thought it was really cool.
Did you like Predator, the unmasked Predator, or like the shadow Predator the most?
I don't make favorites.
I like Suit Predator the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unmasked Predator is cool and everything, but I think he's scarier with the...
Yeah.
Helmet on.
Yep.
Oh, I like unmasked Predator.
You would.
Well,
you're into all that weird hentai bullshit.
That's true.
Wait, what was I going to say? Oh, people were tweeting about it, but I don't know if you saw this, but the Predator design and Kevin Peter Hall, who played the Predator, that all came like kind of last minute because originally Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to be the Predator, and it was a different design.
Okay,
and he was too short, and he was not happy having to wear the costume, and so they shit canned him and kind of reconfigured the whole thing.
But we would have doing splits in between trees.
He was like, "It's your JCVD
out of the suit.
JCVD, we got to shoot." He's like, "I just want to eat."
Stan Winston gets another one of those fevered calls at 3 a.m. from a very far away place. We need a monster by Tuesday. Here's what I love about Predator.
Everything. Go ahead.
it's old-fashioned and takes its time, which a lot of newer movies don't. Okay. Newer movies have to... Well, no, I don't think it's pokey, because I think they're not only establishing who these guys are, but there's a build to it that we're not gonna blow everything just in the first 10 minutes, so to speak. And then even like you were saying, the masked predator versus the unmasked predator, it's like we go to this and we go to this. Right. Very much like a horror movie in the 1940s, that we see a foot and then we see a claw and then the film still has something to reveal, because even once we see it, you get the extra little thing of the mask coming off. And that's like, oh, there's this other scary thing. And so it's so old-fashioned in so many ways, except the violence and the language.
And my theory has always been, like, the appeal of Schwarzenegger as the action hero is that he is the other, not only because he's foreign-born and has the accent, but because he's so superhuman in his strength and his ability and everything. And so what I love about Predator is that it's like, oh, we'll show you the fucking other. The only thing that could stand toe-to-toe with Schwarzenegger is a thing from outer space.
Or Rob.
Or Rob, of course. Rob. Have you seen Rob? Yeah. That's what I mean. Oh, my God.
Adonis DNA.
Mike.
This is so funny. I love Predator. Like, you know, like some couples have a song that they share. Adam and I have movies. Aww. A couple movies.
This is adorable.
And Predator is one of them. We wrote about it a bit in our Grown Up Nerdy.
Oh, because of your street gang.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the reasons. But we watched it all the time when we were younger. It's one of the more quotable movies for me. I know it like the back of my hand.
I remember the first time you showed it to me. You like walked. He walks up to the TV screen.
Are
we
talking about Predator?
Yeah. Okay. He walks up to the TV screen and he just starts pointing at a star. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "It's going to be this one.
The Predator." Yeah.
Like, and he waits for one of them to start moving. And he's like, "It was the wrong one." And he was like, "Ah!" He was so upset that he got it wrong.
I would have rather you told him I just whipped my dick out.
And by dick, do you
I
mean
call this predator? The Predator!
Little Predator.
Should see it when it's unmasked.
So you... So you love Predator all. Yeah. Adam?
You know, I love the... I'm such a sucker for the story. Like, it starts as one thing and then changes to something else. Like, I just love that every time I watch this movie. Like, if it wasn't for that spaceship in the beginning, like, you would not even know that this was had anything to do with aliens until, you know, what, like 25, 30 minutes in. So, I love this movie. I love just the plot structure of the entire thing.
Gray Thule in the Facebook thread says, "Love Mike and Adam stories." Aww. So maybe give us a little bit of that slash fiction. I turned a little bit into Dennis Miller.
Give us some of that. I'm sorry I embarrassed you here.
I don't know. I want $1 million for Bordello of
I've told my Predator stories, but I remember when Predator was coming out and I sort of...
His name is novel.
Found out what it was. Like, I knew that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a new movie and it was called Predator. And that was all I knew about it for a little while. Like, I read the novelization multiple times. And when I found out that, because at that point I was fully, like, obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger because I had seen Commando.
How old were you?
I was 10 when it came out. I got to see Commando before this, obviously, at home. And I was obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So when I was obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger and monster movies, and I was like, wait a second. Arnold Schwarzenegger made a monster movie? And so I was in heaven for Predator. And I like what you said about it being old fashioned, because this was McTiernan's second movie. He had made Nomads, which is kind of a weird, almost art house kind of a thing, real abstract. And this was like his warm up for Die Hard, basically, and he's so old-fashioned and classical, it reminded me kind of of Richard Donner, minus the tendency towards, like, comedy, but yeah. Richard Donner is so kind of unpretentious in the way that he shoots action, and John McTiernan is very much the same way. It's a really well-made movie, and the special effects still really hold up. I love that cast. I was giving Pancho a lot of shit in the room because I'm indifferent towards Poncho, but like, everyone else kicks so much ass.
Would not stop.
Actor who plays Poncho, I know you're watching us. I know you're hanging out with Andre Gower and Ryan Lambert, and I apologize. But everyone else is so awesome and iconic that how could I, you know?
People kept tweeting about Bill Nunn sort of being the real MVP.
Bill Duke.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Bill Duke.
That's he's great.
He shaves just raw.
Yeah.
Just raw shaving. Mm-hmm. And he's sweaty. And he says, I'm going to have me some fun. So I love Predator. Poor Poncho is a comment. Mac McIntyre says, poor Poncho. This was a popular movie at sleepovers, it sounds like. So after Predator.
Wait, really quick.
What up?
Predator.
Oh.
The violence. No, I just was so surprised to see, like, the skinned bodies and the insides of things. Like, that was shocking to me.
Right.
And I appreciate everyone who was
giving me very different
warnings.
Childhoods.
I know. I know.
Erica was surprised by the violence, and then she saw RoboCop.
Just, I know.
It was probably my favorite moment of the entire evening or entire day was the beginning of RoboCop, but we'll get to that.
And then Erica, at one point during RoboCop, had a tweet like, wait, what? This is it's bleeding.
He's not protecting and serving.
Chrissy writes Blaine quotes. Yeah, that was my favorite
those are good.
Thing to do today was just every once in a while say Blaine quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we watched Raising Arizona, which I feel like that and the Monster Squad had the most first-time watches today. It seemed like those were the newest to the most people. And, gosh, let's just start with you, Adam Risky, on Raising Arizona.
Wow.
We've talked about this. I'm very hot and cold on Coen Brothers. And I looked during Raising Arizona, I looked on Wikipedia, and I did the inventory. And I'm almost exactly 50-50 on their movies.
I don't think you tweeted at all during Raising Arizona.
No, because I hadn't seen it very much, so I wanted to pay attention. And then it was not for me, and I disconnected, and I slept a little, and I took a walk upstairs for a few minutes. And here's the thing. Raising Arizona is very well acted. It's very well written. Objectively, it's good. I would never say anybody's wrong for liking Raising Arizona. I'm wrong for not liking Raising Arizona, sure. But just the aesthetic of it bothers me for some reason. I don't know why. It's just I don't want to look at it. Like, it just is kind of grody to a point that makes me feel uncomfortable. And it's a really personal thing. And I'm sorry. And we can move on.
A lot of comments in the Facebook feed. What's happening right now?
You
but that's
slept
okay.
A little.
Let's say, hey, you like what you like, Adam. Yeah. So you know they're not all upset. Rob, Raising Arizona.
It's great, and I just want to mention JB was regaling us with the stories beforehand about the production, which made me more interested in the shots when we were watching.
And I will make Xeroxes of it and send it out to anyone.
Oh, good homework.
Sorry, I can't help it. I'm a teacher. For 15 years or so, I showed this in film study class as the final film in the comedy unit, and that had the advantage that no kid had ever seen it because it sort of became obscure. But, my God, it's a marvel for so many different reasons. One of which is, and I think you saw this in The Princess Bride, too, that it is so non-realistic, as Adam said. The stylization of it is so weird. And yet, the moments where it wants to have a heart, I'm thinking of Nathan Arizona's soliloquy at the end about them, and especially High's dream. That is very difficult to pull off in a film this silly. And yet, it does it.
And Holly Hunter's performance is so funny and still rooted in actual sadness, you know, and it's amazing.
It's earnest. It's really earnest.
Right.
Like, it's got a lot of, it knows how to be, you know, goofy or whatever when it needs to be. But then when it comes in for the landing with the speech at the end about the dream, it's just like, you realize that it all been building to that. And
right.
That it was it made sense at the end.
One of the best chase scenes ever, I think. So great. Yeah. And people on Twitter were commenting over and over and over how amazing that chase scene is.
It just
how
keeps building on and on. Yeah, the dogs. And the dogs and the... Yeah. Then where are the diapers?
And how gun-happy we are, because everywhere he turns... I'm thinking specifically of the guy at the grocery store with the double-barreled shotgun. Yeah, right. He's been waiting for this moment for years.
Right. The Coens have done that, like, silly without the earnestness before, and it doesn't work as well. I mean, I still like some of those movies, but some of them don't work as well, I don't think, as Raising Arizona does, because, again, it has a...
Is there a Coen comedy you like better?
Coen comedy, like a, just a straight up comedy? No, I don't think so. There's other movies that have humor in them, but I wouldn't call them like straight up Coen comedies.
And you mentioned it, Patrick, that 1987, Nick Cage also did Moonstruck.
Yes, he did.
What a year.
Yes.
23? Yeah, he was like 64. Yeah, so 22, 22, 23.
Yeah. And that was really? That was the other weird thing about showing it in class, because by the time I'm showing it in class, he's an action star.
Oh, yeah. Big Lebowski. Yeah.
And kids were even...
Somebody just...
Kids were even calling me out and saying, that's not Nicolas Cage.
Right, right.
That's another actor named Nicolas Cage. Because, no. I mean, he bulked up. For, right. He's so scrawny in this movie.
One thing I loved about... that I did really love about Raising Arizona was Nicolas Cage's performance reminded me this time a lot of like Gosling and The Nice Guys. So I kind of really, when he was
Nice Guys, written and directed by Shane Black, are you talking about?
Yeah, that one. You know, the really good one that was like number 7 on my top 10 list last year.
With Ryan Gosling?
Yeah. The Oscar nominated actor, yeah.
I'm sorry, real quick, Kirstie Resch in the Facebook feed just pointed out Big Lebowski.
Yeah. I would still go Raising Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, it's like pretty neck and neck for me. I don't know.
I would still go Raising Arizona.
Yeah, but I forgot about just how great that movie is. And Doug says that Coneheads is his favorite Cone comedy. Jan, Raising Arizona.
I love Raising Arizona. I have a lot of sentimental affection for it. And I think, I'm sure there's cracking a lot the of parents out there. There's parents in the room. I think that's what makes it achieve that. It's this crazy comic book of a movie, and yet it has this real, sincere heart. And that's exactly what it's like to be the parent of a little, like an infant or toddler.
That's his dream at the end. I just want him to do this and this. Because, I want to be there for this.
You have a kid that age, and like one day you'll be just like, I'm wearing my husband's clothes, I'm covered in vomit, there's footprint. I don't know how many people are in my house right now. Like, it's your life.
That's actually how we role play.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's the... Hey.
I'm into puke stuff.
But like, your life will feel like crazy. One? Crazy. Yeah.
Jeff the vomit guy?
I'm sorry. What are you doing? Are you like
saying something so sincere and I'm just stepping on it with stupid jokes?
Watching Raising Arizona... I tweeted this earlier, but I have a 2-year-old at home, and I missed him like crazy by the end of that movie. So,
I miss my kids during Predator because they're always trying to kill me. They're partially invisible.
I'm glad you are going to talk.
Always trying to murder me. Always.
Except for recoveries. Jane reminded me during the screening that for 10 years or more, whenever we had to go pick our son up somewhere, we would shout to each other, let's go get Nathan Jr. And that sort of became part of our...
I love it. Yeah, during that movie, it seemed like there you guys had a couple of little inside jokes with the quotes, that there were quotes that you guys say a lot. Movie. Yeah.
There's a couple in there. But I think that's another measure of how good the film is, that there's a lot of comedies that don't have jokes. This, Raising Arizona has jokes. Jokes that you can point to. In fact, a couple of them today, it wasn't the line that's become famous. It was like a line that was right around the line that was famous.
Well, and it skirts right up against, in the hands of worse writers, it would be insufferable, I think, the way that the language is so stylized. I think it would be insufferable, and you may find it insufferable. I don't know, but like,
oh no, it had nothing to do with the dialogue. It was just all the look of it.
Sure,
I'm constantly asking myself, where did Nicolas Cage go to school, or what books did he read? It is Coppola. It is just so Coppola odd books. In such a specific way. The way he talks. Yeah. But other people in the film in the film have unusual ways of speaking too.
Yeah.
Like when Nathan Arizona suddenly comes up with, "That's your whole goddamn raison d'etre."
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry, just to interrupt real quick for you Facebook Live viewers. Doug just posted that Jason Hervey, who plays the asshole bully in the Monster Squad, has just discovered us on Twitter. And so I want to quickly read, "Hope you squatters are supporting my boys Ryan Lambert and Andre Gower for their Squatchcast," which is not the name of their podcast. It's actually the Squadcast. Mm-hmm. Squatchcast makes it sound like they do a Bigfoot-themed podcast.
This is all about Harry and the Hendersons.
Also from 1987. Don't bring that movie up to me.
Is this fake news?
This is fake news. Okay. Hervey plugging it wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, maybe it was a typo.
I mean, maybe. Or an autocorrect fail is what these people
private
call
it. Private voice to text.
Maybe a private joke between him and the squad.
Maybe he secretly hates them and is trying to distract us
He's gaslighting Ryan Lambert.
He'll never find that podcast now.
He'll never find the squad cast.
He hosts the Squatchcast. He's trying to siphon listeners. Mike, Raising Arizona, you have said is your favorite.
It's one of my favorite.
One of your favorite movies, period.
Period.
Okay.
It's difficult.
Tell us about watching it with Adam.
Yeah.
Wait, the people at home like it.
Raising Arizona is the joke. The movie that made them want to adopt children.
It's another movie that he and I would quote all the time.
It's in the few hundred times where, and for some reason, he just goes, "You got to get the dip tat."
It's one of the, again, like Predator, one of the more quotable movies. It's hard following these guys because they.
Dip tat is your vaccine that the government puts in you. Check the documents. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Is that Margot Kidder?
Basically, it's my Margot Kidder.
Patrick,
tell you something about Olivia Hussey.
Hello?
That girl could shit like you wouldn't believe.
Patrick is drunk.
This is falling off the rails quicker, folks.
Doug is saying that Jason Hurry just corrected his tweet.
Okay.
I'll cut that bit out of the podcast. Did we shame him into doing it? Sorry, Jason Hervey.
He's just like, damn it.
Try to do something nice for my fucking friends.
We're on to my siphon plan.
Well, Jason, we loved your work in the Blunder years.
You burnt Hervey!
If you do want to start the Squatchcast, we will listen.
I would listen to that.
I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
I love Raising Arizona. We can move on.
That's it?
Well, I don't know what you got? What else to say? Everyone else wonderfully articulated my thoughts before I've got... I'm down to, like, I love his hair.
You love it so much you can't fucking put it in words? You haven't given this any
thought. I could go on and on about the shovel nose mount, something that Barry Sonnenfeld had to invent to get some of the shots they did in the film.
He also invented the movie A Talking Cat. No, not A Talking
Nine
Cat.
Lives.
Nine Lives. A Talking Cat.
A Talking Cat.
Nine Sorry. Lives is Barry Sonnenfeld?
You know it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll watch anything.
Jesus.
I would only see it if Kevin Spacey did the cat as his House of Cards character. Sometimes you're the litter box, and sometimes the litter box is you.
It's the sexiest thing you've ever done.
I fucking hate that show. Go ahead, Adam Fox.
It was the first time that I've watched this movie after being a parent.
Okay.
And I think that there was a lot more, I was more sentimental towards some things, and there were some comedy bits that I... Like the thing that I think of is when the kids are like, there's all that noise upstairs, and the parents just like are just staring up at the ceiling. I've done that. Where like you're just so comfy in the couch, you're like, I don't want to fucking go out there.
Right.
And I know something.
You hear
going
the
on.
Loud noise, and you just wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there crying?
Well,
no. Okay, then we're fine.
So I appreciated it more. Not that I didn't love it before, but I think I love it more now after watching it, after being a parent. So.
Yeah,
even though your child was kidnapped?
Yes, and
It didn't bring up. Okay, let's pour one out for Marcon. Marcon wasn't here specifically because he said this would be too hard for him.
Oh, no.
Would bring up too many memories.
We missed you.
We did, of course, we miss Marcon. Mark.
Liam Neeson calls the baby. He's like, get under the crib.
Also, they're going to take you. Yeah. Why'd you make me get under the bed? What's
Alex.
The point? Anyway.
Throw these grenades on top of the parking garage so I can hear how far you are from me.
I want a movie called Liam Neeson Calls a Baby.
That's a podcast I would listen to.
After Raising Arizona was the movie that I was most looking forward to today. And here's the thing I will say about today. I feel like every year there's been one movie that I felt didn't play quite as well as I had hoped. Usually because maybe I chose a little bit wrong. And then one movie that I was like, well, that fucking played like the best of anything. I can't choose either of those movies this year. Hmm. I think it was pretty consistent. Like, I don't think anything was exceptionally strong because I think everything was pretty strong.
Everything was.
I didn't think anything felt weak in terms of the response and all that stuff. So I was most excited about RoboCop. RoboCop's one of the greatest movies ever made. Let's start it back around this way. Adam Thaws.
Well, I have to first bring up Erica at the beginning of that movie when they shoot the guy in the boardroom. Like, Erica's reaction was like, oh my God! Like,
well, she said, yeah, go ahead. I think is this real? And we're like, Erica, it's a movie.
By the way, true story, that's almost exactly what she said when I proposed. Oh. Except she said, is this a joke? That's a true story, everyone at home. That's a true story.
That's because I was so surprised. It was the only time, life that I had actually been surprised by anything. Like, people had tried to throw me surprises, like birthday parties or things in the past.
I thought she was going to say it was the only time in her life she was proposed to.
Oh, it was not at all.
That's also true. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Aww.
And that's also what Adam said when I whipped my dick out.
Is this thing for real?
Focus, it's this star. This star.
Look at the TV. I'm looking at your dick.
Too many callbacks.
To my favorite Delphonic song.
There were many. Is this thing for real with such obvious relish?
There were moments, again, because Monster Squad, RoboCop, and Predator were movies that I completely grew up on. I mean, Princess Bride as well. Not as much Raising Arizona. I didn't see that one until later. But those three especially. And there were so many moments where Erica would audibly react to something. And I was reminded, like, oh, we had very different childhoods. Because when that guy gets gunned down at the beginning of RoboCop, I'm like, yeah, it's hilarious, right? And she's scarred. And I'm like, oh, I was watching this when I was a kid. It was inappropriate.
But I actually thought the best one was when Paul McCrane comes out of the toxic waste and he's a Quasimodo monster. And from a very early point, you were preparing for the moist scene, for lack of a better word.
Oh, Patrick does not like the word moist.
No. The water balloon scene.
Right, right. I know, I was just grossed out at like the part, like the pieces
that's
of things.
That's how toxic
like,
waste
on,
works. You know what I'd never seen until our friend Josh Perlman pointed it out with a picture when he grabs Ray Wise, like sticking out of his arm is part of his bone. It's gnarly, but I'd never noticed that before.
I always gave them credit. It's a series of shots and makeups and it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
Like in Bride of Frankenstein. Goes swoosh. As Bride of Frankenstein goes on, his hair grows back as the film goes along. You got to give the makeup people for little stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm bummed out that this was the movie. I had to leave during this movie. So, like, I would have loved to have watched it with
what did we say to you when you left?
Don't come back.
Bitches leave.
Oh, bitches leave. Yeah, no, I love this movie. I would have loved to have watched it with everybody. That would have been a lot of fun. But I was back for, like, the end of it and just thinking I was, I don't know. I didn't see it in 87, but not long after that. Just thinking
too
I
young.
Was way too young.
Dude, I had the exact same reaction. I was like, my parents showed this to me.
Oh, wow.
I would watch this with my
parents. I watched this without my parents.
Oh, I watched it with my parents.
Predator, I was allowed to see. RoboCop, I was not. But I watched it without their permission.
Oh,
I still remember.
Fucking Rebel Kid.
Where were you? At home? VHS? What?
Or maybe at a friend's
sleepover?
House.
Sleepover? Yeah, I mean.
He lives in Canada. You wouldn't know.
I still remember when this came out in the theater, going to see it and expecting it to be sort of a very mainstream action film.
Yeah. And in some ways it is.
Right, but how surprised I was by the satiric stuff.
That's the genius of it, is that it gives you both. Yep. It works just as a straightforward action movie, but then it's so much more.
I'm so taken by how much every single person in this movie loves that sitcom with its little tagline.
It's Idiocracy years before Idiocracy.
It's Ooh My Balls for RoboCop.
Right. Anything else about RoboCop?
I would not buy it for a dollar for what that's worth.
Anything else you want to say about RoboCop?
One more thing.
Yeah.
When this came out, in the spirit of Erica, is this real? It was very violent and very shocking. I think the edge has been taken off this movie by more modern action films. I'm sort of comparing this in my mind to John Wick 2 last night.
I still think shocking stuff in this is more shocking than anything in John Wick 2. I would say there's less, it's not wall-to-wall violence, right, but I would say the violence is more graphic and more visceral. I mean, just the splash when he pulls the spike out of Clarence Boddicker's neck is like more viscerally violent than anything in John Wick 2. Yeah. And again, that's what put RoboCop on my radar. My brother had a Twilight Zone magazine, one issue, and I would just read through it constantly, and there was an article on RoboCop, and it was like, there's this movie coming out called RoboCop, and it has an X rating for violence, and I was like, how soon can I see this?
Oh my gosh.
And part of it might be that it's all so practical effects.
You're like the softest guy, except for huge muscles. No, but like, it just cracks me up that you love violence so much.
Well, and he like, his two favorite things are Peter Weller and robots. So he was like, together?
Peter Weller is a robot.
It's like the fucking Gooba Grape of fucking superheroes, kid.
I think part of it is the fact that it's practical effects, and so you can tell that he's really getting spritzed with stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe from The Walking Dead or maybe for some other things, now we see it and we're like, well, that's CGI. It looks like a video game.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Jan, RoboCop.
RoboCop's great.
Yeah, it is.
I love what's the name of the robot that falls on
Ed
the stairs?
Ed 209.
There's something...
Short for Edwina.
Something, there you go, really, that I really liked about that. And this movie kept reminding me, like, why did they remake RoboCop? Like, why would you need to remake this movie? It has to be just exactly what it is made when it is.
Right.
And that's where its greatness, by who it made it originally, with all those people in it, that's wherein its greatness lies. So why do that?
And Hollywood has not yet figured out, they remade Total Recall, they remade RoboCop, they're still trying to remake Starship Troopers at some point. And they haven't figured out that, like, no one is going to be able to translate what Paul Verhoeven does. No one.
No one.
Because anything they try is going to fuck up the balance one way or the other. It's either they're going to try and make it too goofy and funny and ruin the legitimate, awesome action stuff, or they're just going to do that, which is what most of them do, and they just ditch any of the really subversive satire stuff. And they just need to stop trying to remake Paul Verhoeven, because... there's only one of him.
That's right.
Rob, RoboCop.
RoboCop was great. And as I learned last night, sitting next to Patrick with John Wick, my favorite thing in the world now is to sit behind or next to Patrick Bromley while he watches action movies.
Because that's why Rob's moving to Chicago.
The sounds that come out of this man are just unreal. I was sitting behind him here, and he was curling, he was giggling. It was same experience with John Wick 2 last night. So made infinitely better to watch RoboCop. If you get a chance to watch RoboCop with Patrick, take that opportunity.
At one point, I'll be selling tickets.
At one point during John Wick, I thought the audience is digging it, and then later at the restaurant, I realized Patrick was digging it, and that's all I was hearing and all I was responding to.
But that's all. RoboCop rules.
Yes. RoboCop was. It's always had a special place for me because it was one of those movies like in '87, The Lost Boys was another one where it was this forbidden movie, but there was just something about it that innately appealed to me, like, whether it's just, like, ooh, they look like cool vampire teenager guys. And, like, the poster, they're all lined up. And it's like, hey, do you want to be in the cool club? It's like, fuck, yeah, I want to be in the cool club. And then I asked, like, with The Lost Boys, I asked my mom once because I couldn't watch it. I'm like, could you watch it on Cinemax for me and just tell me what happens? And then she did that the next day. And it was, like, really sweet. It was a nice memory. And with RoboCop, I couldn't watch it. But anytime when it showed up on Showtime, all bets were off. So, like, I was in the basement, and I would stand next to the box, and then, like, I would watch it, and then if I hear somebody, like, walking, I'd be like, I go, like, around the horn, and then just come back to RoboCop. And I would do that all the time, and it just, it was, when I finally did watch it, it just so over-delivered everything that I possibly wanted it to be, and it's in that category, like, The Raid 2 for me, where... I just, from, like, my gut, I'm just audibly excited about, like, how crazy what it is going on. It's the type of movie where I'm just in awe of, like, the talents of a filmmaker. It's just, like, it makes me so pissed off at, like, people who do, like, cinema sins, and they're just, like, nitpicking this and that. It's just, like, to create something as original as RoboCop and irreverent from scratch, like, that's coming to from your imagination... You putting it together, you mapping it out from the story structure, and it being that successful in translation. I mean, you have to. That's why these people are geniuses in doing what they're doing. Right. And it's just, it's such a pulpy thing that I always enjoy more when something pulpy is like exceptional than when it's just like Oscar bait and it's exceptional. If there's just kind of like a special pleasure to that. So yeah, I love RoboCop. Love it.
I do too. It's one of my favorite movies, and I didn't. I think it's a movie that works just as well today as it did in 1987, yep. Except for and we were commenting that we all love the stop motion Ed 209, but I recognize that like that's an effect that is dated in terms of like that's what they could accomplish at the time. But I don't think there's anything else about the movie that dates. I think the suit on RoboCop that Rob Bottin did is like
awesome.
Still so awesome.
And better than the new one.
Way better than the new one. So much better than the new one. We were watching it on Blu-ray and I was like, oh my god, this transfer is so amazing. You can see like the texture in the steel on RoboCop.
What would William Friedkin say we're watching it on?
Blu-ray. So I love RoboCop. I think it holds up just as well. I think it's a movie that has aged with me so that the more I see it and the older I get, the more I appreciate actually so much of what it is doing. Because I think as a kid, I get that things were satirical, but I was mostly just like, he's so badass and it's so cool. Again, in 87, I wasn't allowed to see it. RoboCop 2 came out in, what, 1990? And by then, I was allowed to go see that in the theater. So, and that movie's not that great. But I love RoboCop. It's one of my very favorites. Go ahead, Bew. I'm so sorry.
No, I just wanted to add that, you know, people, of course, we are missing Doug a lot.
Of course we are.
We wish he was here in the room with us.
I'm still laughing at that Conehead.
So I've been trying to get a little Doug on the screen.
She has been trying for years to get a little Doug. And it's caused some tension with us, but it's fine.
No, I've been trying to get some Doug on the screen here, and I found a picture of us when we were all just friends.
Picture is 20 years old.
This picture is not 20 years old, but almost. I mean, it's pretty old.
Well, 19 years old, sorry.
That's ponytail Doug. That's short hair, small beard Patrick.
I remember ponytail
and
Doug.
That's younger, pre-children me. So... so we miss you, Doug.
What'd you think of RoboCop, Bew? Because I don't think you'd ever seen it.
It was awesome.
I don't think she saw parts of it this time.
No, I don't think so either. But there was a lot of stuff going on during RoboCop.
I know.
Not just because she was hiding her eyes.
But you even watched. Kids. Yeah, no, I watched.
Because when the guy came on the toxic waste, I was like, oh, it's going to get worse.
I know.
But you said, like, I want to see this through. So you got to see his head roll up the car.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And just like. Terrific. We're 80% water, like John said.
I mean, it's just the best.
It was good.
Ponytail Doug is blowing up the Facebook Live feed, so that's fun. Ponytail Doug should be a new character who exists only in 90s references. I'm guessing it's going to happen pretty soon here.
From a different era.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I didn't
there. Have you seen Ponytail Doug? He looks just like Jason Priestley.
Should we point out Doug's amazing like text and song things
he was doing? Oh my god, those little ditties he was doing were so funny. Well done, yes, they were hilarious. Especially the one about me. we closed out the festival with Monster Squad, which I kind of suspected would be a nice way to end things, and I think was right, not only because it's short, but because it's pretty action-packed. It plays to a lot of the things we love. It's nostalgic. It's got monsters in it. It's super fun. And this was the other movie that I think a lot of people hadn't seen and seemed to play very, very well.
I 100% agree with that. That movie's great.
Way to run with the baton, my man. Okay. any other thoughts on the Monster Squad?
I don't know what to say about that movie that hasn't already been said. I mean, that movie's so great, and it's...
Try.
I'll try my best.
No pressure.
One of the things that you guys pointed out, and I've always loved her, and it's nice that the little girl.
Phoebe the Phoebe.
Yeah, she is so great in that movie, and I'm just like that's when Dracula picks her up. And she, like, lets out the scream. I don't know why. It's just so, like...
And he calls her a bitch.
I know, but it's...
Yeah, that's like, alarming. That oh, hard. My gosh. And I'm like, hashtag... And someone tweeted, like, how... That was okay, or...
And someone tweeted there's a basic cable substitute.
Oh, yeah.
Like where they filmed an alternate where he says... What's the line before bitch?
He calls her a
Give
band.
Me the amulet, you bitch, he says.
Calls her Band-Aid breath.
No, according to someone on Twitter, I don't know if they were just making it up, but sounds
there was like
an
edited for television.
Give
version?
Me the amulet, little lady.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So he turns into John Wayne. Give me the amulet, little lady.
That'll be the day.
We all just were saying that with that scene, that the actor, the Dracula actor, was always trying not to freak that girl out. Yeah. But then for that scene, Fred Dekker was just like, don't tell her that you put the fangs and the eyes in. So he, like, hit himself. So when he, like, picked her up and, like, he did that thing, like, that was a genuine scream. Like, she was really scared by that. So
Dracula in this movie doesn't fuck around.
No, he's a good dragon.
Yeah. I'm going to blow shit up. I'm going to, you know, fucking pick up
blows
kid.
Up a treehouse.
Yeah, dude.
Such a weird John Wick 2 move.
It's a fun movie, and it's a movie I did not grow up with.
Really?
Yeah. No, I
How did
not,
this miss you?
I have no idea. And I came to it much, much later. But it completely works. I mean, there's no Goonies derivation.
Okay.
For me, like, it's fantastic. I think it's a ton of fun. And also, like, a lot of these movies today was a lot of fun watching with you guys and everybody on Twitter. It's a group. It's a fun group movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I completely missed this when it first came out, which is heresy considering
I saw a video.
My hobbies. But I think when it came out in 87, I wrongly thought it was a stupid kids movie that was just going to play the monster game in a way I wasn't interested in seeing. I didn't catch this until much later. As someone tweeted, the minute you see the armadillos... in Dracula's castle, you know you're
just like
in
the first 10 seconds of the movie.
The right hands. And I also appreciate you had mentioned what a badass Dracula is. Well, Dracula's always a badass because he's an agent of evil. He's Satan. He wants to steal your soul. And other versions of Dracula have turned him into a romantic hero looking for a girlfriend. But Deckard...
Take me away from all of this.
Deckard understands the essential appeal... and myth of each monster. I mean, look how Frankenstein. Yes. Look how Frankenstein is portrayed, or even that they're true to the Wolfman being. He doesn't want to be the Wolfman. He says thank you when they finally put a silver bullet in him. Deckard understands the way the classic monsters are supposed to be done.
When that scene where like you go from Frankenstein, you know Frankenstein's coming to the kids, and it goes to the little girl. And she's sitting by, like, you're like, oh no, we know what's going to happen here. And it totally takes kind of what we knew was, what we thought was going to happen and flips it. So.
Yeah.
I really, really like Monster Squad. I almost couldn't keep up with it because people were tweeting about it. And the movie is, like all movies that we watch tonight, it's so fast. It doesn't mess around. There's nothing wasted. It gets so much character
I mean, there are really a lot of characters in this movie,
yeah.
but it gets so much character into the movie in such a short time, and those, like, the me that I would have been at, if I had seen this movie at 10 or 12 years old, I would have just wanted to be those kids and wanted to be friends with those kids.
This guy absolutely. Right here. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I love at the end of the movie when we do the cutaway, like, we're the Monster Squad, and then they rap about the Monster Squad. The squad isn't just the kids. Like, Scary German Guy is in there, and Sean's parents, and Eugene, yep. and the dog, and Phoebe. Like, it's
extended
this
universe.
Extended universe, exactly.
What a great message for kids, though.
Right, right.
The people you choose to have around you as your squad, and that's
guess what? You guys are my squad.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also really like the creature design, which I believe was by Stan Winston.
It was.
Because they were not allowed
right.
to use... The exact universal.
He had to skirt up as close as he could
yeah.
without infringing on their copyright.
And very impressed by the Gill Man, because of
right,
course,
right.
Universal is creature.
Right.
That when the Gill Man advances forward, you get that breathing thing,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which is one of the greatest things in the original creature. And
when he dies, you get to see the gills stop.
And he dies exactly the same way that
right.
the creature dies. Right. In the original, because as opposed to these other supernatural monsters, he's a fish, and if you shoot him
right.
enough times, that's going to do
just
it.
The ones.
It almost makes me wish they could have gotten the rights to that weird. I believe Henry Mancini wrote it. Da da da.
Right, the
iconic creature music when he's advancing, but that's a quibble.
Why does nobody ever talk about when they're talking about their favorite monsters in the Monster Squad? Nobody ever talks about the Invisible Man.
No.
He's in the entire thing. Anyway, Rob, Monster Squad? Yeah, you're right. That was the worst joke of the day.
Yes, I'm off the hook. All right.
Monster Squad is a movie that I was not, I did not grow up on either. I did not know about the Monster Squad until I think you guys did a podcast.
Really?
Or something.
We did a podcast
Scary
on it,
movie
yeah.
Month last year?
Yeah, I that think. Sounds right.
Monster Squad is a movie I will associate with this and
aww,
with you guys.
Nice.
Very much like Streets of Fire last year,
yeah.
which is a movie I was unfamiliar with until I sat down to watch it for at this movie fest.
That makes
and it
me
was
happy.
The best, and it's a movie I still revisit all the time. And the Monster Squad for me this year is about this. Because of my particular circumstance. And so I love the Monster Squad because you guys love the Monster Squad. And I will always, whenever I think of that movie, I will think about
where your Monster
right
Squad.
Now.
Aww. That's awesome. Cool.
So Rob wishes
top
the Monster Squad took place
oh good
on
luck.
Streets of
good.
Fire.
If the Monster Squad were, like, if they fought with the hammers, if they fought against
and if
them,
all the streets were on fire.
Right.
Hmm.
I think they could handle it.
What if it was a Monster Squad Streets of Fire Swamp?
Is Diane Lane
get...
singing?
Yes,
I am there.
And we're going to add a Monster Sasquatch.
Yes.
For Jason Hurley.
Yes.
Just to have that callback.
But anyway, the same nostalgia and the same sort of feeling that the Monster Squad invokes, and that will be this for me. So
that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
My thing. Adam, go ahead.
Sure. So you voted
Adam,
Mark on.
I vote Mark on for the Monster Squad.
Good. That's the correct answer. So, yeah, I watched Monster Squad when it came out on video, and then for a long time it was unavailable.
Yeah, it didn't come out on DVD until, like,
2007. And yeah. It happened around the time that, before it came out on DVD, the Music Box Massacre had it.
Yeah.
It was the first time I had seen it in maybe like 7 or 8 years at that point.
Yeah.
And it was, when I watched it, I was just like, I couldn't believe how well it held up and
yeah.
like how great it was. And with that crowd, it just made it so much more exponentially better. And that's kind of how I got, I've had the feel of it since then, like especially tonight watching Monster Squad. And since... what Rob said was so beautiful, I'll go in the opposite direction. And because
oh, no.
I can play bad guys sometimes. So I'll just say this.
If you watch
the Monster Squad and you see these kids and you see how good the performances are and like how lively they are and not kind of like stage kids and stuff like that.
Right.
You can't like the kids in Stranger Things because they're fucking terrible in comparison.
Aww.
You don't have to bring Stranger Things into it. It's fine.
Wow. I did that on purpose. I just don't like... Alright, here's the thing with the Stranger Things kids. You guys are putting them up on a pedestal now, but you're going to tear them fucking down in 5 years, and I know it, and I want you guys to remember that you need to support them through and through.
So you're tainting my memory that I have. No,
I'm just kidding. What's the Facebook reaction?
It isn't in yet, but wait, nope, my computer just set on fire.
Adam, go fucking die. Adam, I hate you.
Trigger warning.
View, Monster Squad.
Oh, super fun, super great. When can we show our kids?
I don't know, it's kind of intense, and especially, we discovered this showing them Adventures in Babysitting last week. There was a different standard for language in the 80s than there is now. And again, part of me is like, well, we grew up on it, and we're fine.
Yeah, and
but
I
like,
didn't swear. I didn't copy movies. Right. Like, I never... No, but I didn't copy
things
that I
saw. But we shield them from so much. Right. Like, we're both guilty of it. I don't know. I was lucky enough to see this in the theater. My brother took me, I remember, on a Sunday afternoon. And, of course, it blew my mind because here's a kid wearing a Stephen King Rules t-shirt who only wants to draw monsters and talk about monsters. And then he gets to fight monsters with his friends, who he also gets into monsters. So I love this movie, and like you, it was years between when I saw it, because I might rent it on VHS. Mm-hmm. I rented it once, like in the late 90s to show Doug, I think. Hi, Doug. And then didn't see it again until The Massacre.
Yeah.
And, have seen it a couple times with a crowd since, because I end up going to several revival screenings of The Monster Squad. And I had tweeted out that we went in the summer to see Monster Squad, and Fred Dekker was there, and Ryan Lambert and Andre Gower. And seeing this movie in an audience of horror movie fans is really fun. And you can predict when they're going to cheer, and they always do, and that's fun. I mean, My Name is Horace gets such a reaction. So obviously I love this movie very, very much. Let's go around rapid fire and just say favorite movie of the day, like favorite movie experience of the day. Not necessarily like what's your favorite movie going into the day. What was your favorite one to watch today, Adam?
RoboCop.
Okay.
I think it was interesting to, it was much more violent than I remembered it, even though I remembered it being violent.
It's because I kept flicking blood on you.
Yeah,
I cut my thumb.
RoboCop played great for me. I loved watching it again, so that would be my vote.
Awesome. Mike?
I guess for me it would be Predator. Again, a movie I know very well and I love, but was so much fun watching it with everybody.
Yeah.
Also loving it. So,
what's the status on the Predators?
It's still going.
Okay.
There is an opening now, so
fuck you.
If anyone is interested, let me know.
What kind of initiation is
it? We'll talk.
You just got to pay $6. And he'll never give it back to you.
The timing on that was like an old vaudeville duo.
You should hear them do their morning zoo. J-Bones, what was your favorite movie experience of the day?
I'd say it was a tie between The Princess Bride, which is even greater than I remembered, and Raising Arizona, because going in, I knew what we were in for, and I knew it would play, and I love those two movies a lot.
Nice. Jambi?
I would say Princess Bride, because I've been really looking forward to this at this movie fest, and the energy just kicked off so positive and so inclusive and so high energy. It was just a great way to start the day. And that we rode that wave the whole five movies, I think.
It's tough for me. It's RoboCop, or I'm going to go with Predator, because your GIF game was high. and it seemed like everyone's, the commentary that's on Twitter was, and we were in the room, we were all very into it. So I'm going to go with Predator, I think.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why I tapped out on tweeting during Raising Arizona was I feel like I totally GIF overdosed. And like I needed a detox.
As you mentioned, you're extremely gifted.
Yeah.
People in the Facebook Live are saying hi to Kate. Hi, Kate.
Okay.
And Doug says that his favorites were Predator and Princess Bride, and we wish that he was here to tell us in person.
Adam, what was your favorite?
My favorite's almost always the last movie each year, because it's the sour and the sweet, because it's almost over.
Right.
But like that's when everybody like doubles down on just like how much we all love each other and try to make each other laugh and enjoying the movie all at once. So it's almost always the last one. So Monster Squad for me tonight.
View, how about you?
Well, I wanted to say that I refused to choose just one, and I really did love them all. But I guess I'm going to go Princess Bride. But also Monster Squad.
It was
fun,
too, that Charlie was watching it.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Charlie was into it. And but what Adam just said, too, the last movie always ends on such a high note because everybody's so happy that we just had this great day. Like, it flies by, and by the end, you're just filled with so much, like, happiness and love about movies. Movie love for movie lovers.
You know how Sam Peckinpah films violence in slow motion to draw it out? You know what a great moment was today? We got to the end of The Princess Bride, and Peter Falk says the line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, courtesy of Twitter, we got to see all these hearts melting.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
And because you can only read one tweet at a time, that was the Twitter version of slow motion. That was great.
Yeah,
that was
cool. Yeah. That's funny. And a few of them ended with, well, not a few, maybe just two, with like, those aren't tears in my eyes, you're crying. I'm
Raising Arizona,
crying.
Also super sentimental
and
ending.
And Monster Squad.
Yeah, well, Frank is a Phoebe.
Yes. Bye. Right, but it's just awesome to all come together like that at the end, and everybody's so happy and loving movies. And I love that people follow each other on Twitter and then, like, stay in touch the rest of the year and then come back next year. And it's awesome. Yeah. Hi, Edie.
I will say going into it, the one I was looking forward to the least, and I apologize for saying this, honestly, was Monster Squad because it's the one I've revisited most recently. Mm-hmm. Like, I just watched it a few months ago, so I was like, I'm going to watch it again. And it ended up being my favorite, A, because so many people were seeing it for the first time, and honestly, B, because we had participation from Andre Gower and Ryan Lambert and Shane Black, and like that was so exciting. And Andre Gower stuck around and was answering questions about it, which was super fun. The ending is less emotional. Like, there have been years past, 1 year we ended with Back to the Future, 1 year we ended with Jurassic Park. And those endings are so emotional that I feel all the tweets then are like, oh my God, I love you guys so much. This was the best day. But because Monster Squad just ends with like, Dracula and Frankenstein, it's not quite as emotional. But I was so excited about the experience of introducing people to that movie and having people from the movie participate. That was probably my favorite. So we're going to wrap up the podcast portion. People on Facebook Live, feel free to stick around for a few more minutes and we'll try to answer some of your questions live as a way of rewarding the people who stuck around and stayed up late. But to those of you listening, thank you once again for an incredibly successful event. This is some work to put on every year, but we all look forward to it a great deal. And I know people ask, you know, can we do this more than once a year? Obviously, I think that would take the specialness away from it. The good news is it seems to come up really fast because I feel like we just did this. We're all hurtling towards our own deaths is what I'm saying. And but
the sweet release.
It's so much fun and we couldn't do it without the incredible community and participation from everyone. So many new people this year. So many familiar faces.
Awesome. Around the world.
Yeah. I mean, just people waking up in the middle of the night to tweet along. People in Japan. People in Europe. People everywhere. So thank you all very much.
We also couldn't do it without Patrick Bromley. So.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
So true.
Do I get to be in the Predators?
Yes. We'll opening.
$5.
I'm going to say this too. One of the great things that we live around, a lot of us live around here, but it's great that, you know, we got Rob this year.
Yeah.
Last year, Doug came in.
This year.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So what you're saying is not so much Doug.
Well, and then we got Heath Holland through
here.
That's
years right.
Now.
Yeah.
So, like, every year we get a special guest.
Who's coming next year?
It's up to you.
Cash for Slager.
It could be you.
Everybody. Oh, Eric. Yes, Eric.
Eric.
Rob's going to be back. Eric's going to come. Kate's going to come.
Everybody at
Start
once.
Walking
Kate.
Now.
Melissa.
Yes.
Melissa, come from Canada.
So thank you guys very much for listening. We love you all. Hashtag F This Movie Fest. And we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you. Everyone, wrap the Monster Squad as we go out.
I'm still filming, though.
Worst Monster Squad rap ever.
Frankenstein.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.